Yeah. I had actually intended on something entirely different today, 180 degrees different. But when I went to revival on Friday night, the Lord very strongly changed my mind, and you'll see why in a minute. It was just one of those things that just happened that just spoke to me and spoke to my heart, and it actually made things so much clearer. When I was at revival Friday night, there was a young lady who was their musician for that Friday night. She didn't show up the rest of the week, and she was there for Friday night for her. She was supposed to be the musician for that night, and she was a minister also, and she had just lost her son. Just died a week or so before. And so she came with her brother, and when they got there, she actually got up and played. Brother Pollock weren't even expecting her to play. She got up and played, and she stayed for the service, and she really got into the service, and I thank God for that. But it just really touched my heart. And at the end of the service, Brother Pollock got me and Linda and her brother, and we sat in chairs, and they prayed for us because we had all suffered that loss of a child. And as I was sitting there being prayed for, again, amazed that she was there, the Lord began to speak to me, minister to me. So today we're going to talk about something, like I said, 180 degrees from where I was going, but I know this is right. I really believe with all my heart. Get your Bibles out. Turn to John chapter 20. Stand for the reading of the word. John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't sell me. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Y'all say peace. Peace. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then the Lord said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my God Father sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they will be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they will retain. But Thomas, y'all say Thomas. Somebody will say you got a bad rap because of this. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not there with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the prints of the nails. Y'all say nails. And put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. Y'all say side. I shall not believe. And when after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because I have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're all-powerful, Lord, that there's nothing without your sight. God, you see all, you know all. And God, you know, in our own minds, Lord, many times we just don't need to hear it. We need to see it. And Father, I ask you right now, Lord, this day, God, let people not only see it or hear it, but let them feel it. And Lord, it's possible, let them see it. God, this is your day. This is your hour. This is your time. Help us, God, to see, to know, to understand, and to do what you would have us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You be seated. I was in the hospital one day, and there was this guy. I was I was in there visiting somebody else, and there was a guy, because the place was kind of open, and there was a guy covered with bandages from head to toe. And I looked at him and said, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "Well, I'm a former window washer." I said, "When'd you give it up?" He said, "Halfway down." I decided that weren't for me. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'll speak to you for just a few minutes on. I want you to look at this. This is very important. I think this might be some of y'all might be one of the most important things you've heard this year. God never wastes our pain. Look at somebody and tell them that. God's not going to waste your pain. Tell them. God's not going to waste your pain. Amen? So now let's just talk a little bit. It's okay just to talk a little bit. Again, God never wastes our pain. I thought about pain, and like I was sitting there getting ready to preach on Friday night, and then Brother Pollock starts talking about this lady that come in and the pain that she had been through, and also during the week I'd heard other people talk about the pain they had been through and the things they were going through. One thing I realized is, of course, and everybody would say this, pain is unwanted. How many wants pain? How many go, "Praise God, here's pain again"? Pain is unwanted, but also pain is unavoidable. You cannot live this life without pain. Usually when we're going through pain, we look at somebody else and say, "Well, they got it made." But you know what? They have pain too. There's not a person on this earth that's not going at one time or another have some unwanted, unavoidable pain. But not only is it unwanted and unavoidable, pain is common. It's common to man. Everybody in this congregation right now, if you're not already in an experience of pain, you're going to be coming into an experience of pain, or maybe you've just come out of an experience of pain, but everybody in this place, pain is a common denominator. Not only is it common, it's continual. There will never be a time until you get to the other side when pain is going to stop. We'll sit back and we'll look and say, "Well, you know, I wish my pain would just go away." It's not. I wasn't going to sit here and tell you if you serve God and love Him that everything's going to be fine, there's not going to be any more pain. I will be lying to you. Pain is common to all of us. It is continual, but there's one thing pain does that nothing else has the power to do. Pain has a way to change us and mold us in a way that nothing else can. Joy has a way of molding us, and just everyday life has a way of molding us, but when pain comes, that's why God allows us to just to have even normal pains, because what it does is it helps us to realign our thinking, and it helps us to realign ourselves. Because you know what? If I put my hand on a hot stove tomorrow, I guarantee you when I go back to that stove, I'm going to look and make sure it's turned off before I put my hand on it. Amen? It'd be a silly man. It's like I was in the hospital, and there was a guy sitting next to me, and he had two great old big bandages on both sides of his face. His ears in his face. I said, "What happened to you, sir? If you don't mind me asking." He said, "Well, I was home. My wife was always talking about how hard housework was. And I was trying to tell her that it was easy. And so I told her, I said, I'll take care of housework today. You just go shopping. I'll show you how easy it is. And I'm going to multitask." So he puts the ironing board up in front of him. He's watching ESPN. He's got the ironing board up in front of him. He's reading the paper. And just to save things, he puts his telephone up on the ironing board. So he's ironing and reading the paper and watching ESPN. I said, "Well, what happened to your ears?" He said, "Well, you know, there I was ironing, and I was doing all this stuff." And he said, "A guy called me on the phone." And he said, I picked up the phone to say something to him. When I did, I didn't pick up the phone. Instead, I picked up the iron. And I stuck it right into my head. And I said, "Wow, that had to hurt." He said, "That really hurt really bad." I said, "Well, that explains one side. What happened to the other side?" He said, "That idiot called back." Who was the idiot? Amen. So pain teaches us like nothing else can. Here's what I want you to know. Pain, watch this now. Pain is never unnoticed. You know, the older you get and the more experience you get, and sensitive you get to the Spirit, and sensitive you get to other people, can you just walk up on people sometimes and notice there's something wrong with them? Can you just get up on them and look at something's wrong? Your countenance is different today. Something's changed today. Something's not quite right today. And so because of that, you're sensitive to it because, number one, you have been through pain yourself. And so you see that and you begin to hone in on pain, and you can become a healer because you hone in on this pain. So pain's never unnoticed. First, pain is never unnoticed by God. He's watching. He's got you. He's got everything going on. He's paying attention to everything that's happening in your life. Every minute detail, God is watching. So it's never never goes unnoticed by God, nor does it go unnoticed by man. So how is it that people notice our pain? Well, God designed pain to produce scars. Amen? God designed your pain to produce scars. Some of us in here right now, if I say, show me some of your physical scars, you know, I can show you my knee. I can show you, my knee where I fell in Oriental and on some seashells, a whole bunch of seashells, and cut my knee, and they had to reconstruct it. Or I can show you this knee where they tried to do surgery to fix this. Or I can show you my shoulder where my arm was paralyzed when I got in a motorcycle accident. All kinds of stuff. We can all talk about it. We can see that scar, and that every scar tells a story, doesn't it? I can look at scars on my hand or look at scars somewhere, and it always reminds me of what happened. There's physical scars. There's also emotional scars. All you got to do is hear a certain song. Even somebody just mention a certain person. Have you been sitting there going along fine? And all of a sudden somebody mentions a certain person, and all of a sudden you tear up? Or you get angry? Or you feel fear? It's because all of us have scars, whether it be on the outside or whether it be on the inside. God designed pain to produce scars. Now, remember what I said before, God never wastes your pain. And so if God never wastes your pain, then why is it that he allows pain to produce scars? I'm glad you asked that question. If he, in his infinite wisdom and understanding, never allows pain to be wasted in your life, then what is going on? You see, well, think about this supreme example. You know, in heaven, the only thing man made in heaven are the scars in the hands and the side and the feet of Jesus. That's the only scars man made in heaven. When you get to heaven, you'll know Jesus, not only because you're just going to know him because he's awesome, but you're going to see the scars in his hands and in his feet and in his side. The amazing thing to me is these scars were placed there by man for man. Wow. Kind of a catch-22, isn't it? Scars were placed there by man before man. I want you to just listen to all these things that's going on right now and think about what I'm talking about. You see, God allowed this to happen to Jesus. Matter of fact, he didn't just allow this to happen. He ordered this because he knew it was the only way to fulfill the plan of salvation. And just to let you know that it wasn't something he just come up with, you can go back and start looking and you'll see all the way back. Do you see the lambs and sacrifices of the lambs and the turtle doves and the sacrifices of the oxen and the sacrificing of the bulls and the cows? All this stuff you see sacrificed along the way, and all the stuff in the temple was a picture of what was going to happen to Jesus. And the scars are there to remind us of what he did. So let's talk about Jesus for a minute, then we're going to talk about ourselves. So see now Jesus, according to what we just read, it's only been a few days the first time. It's only been a few days since the devastating events. Here's Jesus, the Son of God. They're expecting him to set up a kingdom. They're expecting him to rule on this earth. James and John have already asked him, can we sit on your right hand, on your left hand? One version says, one gospel says, his mom asking, my boy, sit on your right hand, your left hand. Peter had already stood up and said, I will die for you. I will stand up for you, Jesus. He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And all this stuff is going on. So all these guys have got this crazy mess that's been happening. They got the arrest, they got the trial, they got the scourging, and then they see Jesus crucified. He's beat beyond recognition, beard pulled out, hair pulled out, his bones are exposed, organs are exposed. A lot of things have been happening. And so, what happened was, at each place Jesus was at, the arrest, the trial, the scourging, and the crucifixion. Each place produced scars on Jesus. Which, think about yourself. Think about your life and think about where you've been and what you've gone through. And you can sit back and look and you can think about everywhere you went that you got hurt, it produced a scar. Whether it be physical, like the ones I'm talking about, I got some physical scars. Guys like to get around and brag on their scars and talk about, well, yeah, you took 10 stitches, I took 15. That guy goes, well, that's nothing. I sewed myself up. Another guy said, I didn't even sew it up. I just spit on it and held it together. I mean, just talk about our scars. But then there's other scars nobody wants to talk about. I'm in B5 and working through a 12-step program, a souped-up 12-step program. And just the other day, I was talking about relationship with parents and how was the relationship with your parents. And there's 12 guys in there. And as soon as they knew that we were going to be talking, the guys are always together with me. We're talking about the stuff we do on Tuesday night. They're all in there. They want to hear about the live now, live strong. But when they found out I was going to talk about parents and their childhood, three of them laid in bed and wouldn't get up. As we're talking, another one got up and walked out. And I began to piece together a puzzle with them. And as I pieced together a puzzle, although they may have had different experiences growing up, the common denominator was in all of them was either their parents had been drug addicts or their parents had been alcoholics or their parents had been abusive to them. And for the first time, they've been there for 3 weeks, and for the first time, they actually saw the commonness of their pain. Some just couldn't take it. They had to leave and sit over in there because there's two rooms in this B5. They go over by their bunk and they just kind of sit around the back and listen, but they don't want to get involved. They don't want to talk. Then the other guys, it took them a good 30 minutes before they could start talking. And once they got talking, then they wouldn't be quiet. And I just asked them, I said, now what we got in common here? See, they had scars that they didn't want to reveal. There's also people that have scars, and it would do some healing, but they always want to keep pulling the bandage up and showing everybody their scar. See what they did to me? Look at what they did to me. See what happened here? Look at this. Let me tell you something. Remember, every scar you've ever had, it tells a story, and if you let God do it, something special is going to happen. So here's Jesus. Every place he went, he got a scar. They saw his lifeless body taken down from the cross. They even helped. Some of them did, not all of them. All the other guys were running and hiding, like the guys in B5 the other day. That they were hiding, but on the third day, they would discover something very powerful. So again, watch this. Y'all say third day. Y'all say it louder. I can't hear you. Third day. Amen. I got a little buzz up here. We can't figure it out, but that's okay. I want to hear y'all though. Amen. So watch this. They discovered that Jesus had risen. He had a glorified body. All things were new. The last time they saw him, he was beat to a pulp. He was unrecognizable. He couldn't even carry his own cross. He was so weak. He was put on that cross. His feet, his hands, his back. Remember, on the back of the cross, they had a little piece of metal sticking up. And so that was sticking in his back. He had all this stuff going on to him. He could not. The Bible says he was not even recognizable. But on the third day, all things were new, except for the scars. Wow. Some of y'all here right now, if you would hold on and trust God, you'd find out that he's trying to do a new work in your life and trying to lift you up and trying to encourage you and trying to help you. And you say, but God, I still have those scars. And he says, well, if you'll hold on and keep trusting me, I will take those scars and I will do something with them, not only to help you, but to help others. You see, why were the scars still there? Why? Because the scars had purpose. Those scars had power. And those scars had priority. Now we're going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about each one of those. Y'all ready? And then we can go home. Or Burger King. We can beat the Baptist to McDonald's. Whatever you want to do. Ready? Ready? The very first thing. Those scars actually produced purpose. Those scars helped produce purpose. You see, that indicated that it was truly Jesus. It was, look, there was his hands, there was his feet, there was his side. They saw that he had gone through something. It isn't a joke, it isn't a dream, it isn't a game. He really went through death, you know. And Thomas said, unless I see those scars, unless you show me the scars, y'all are telling me you've seen him, but even if he comes through that door, unless I see those scars, I'm not going to believe. And so when he did, he cried out, my Lord and my God. Now the same with us. We all have scars. We all have things that we don't like. There's things that happened to me all the way through from my childhood all the way up to right now that I wish had never happened. And there's things that goes on that I don't like. And it produces scars. But when people see the scars and see you still going, here's what happened. It shows that we've been through something, but it shows that God was with us. Amen? When we show our scars, when people see our scars, it shows that we have been through something, but God was with us because we're still here. We're still producing. We're still, God's got a purpose in our life. And so I thank God that my scars show that yes, I was hurt. Yes, it was terrible. Yes, I hated it. But I thank God that through it all, he was still there. Somebody get happy now. Some of you got some scars. You got to understand that your scars have a purpose. Amen? So those that purpose, scars also indicate the point of injury. There's power. It tells me that it's a reminder of pain. You know, when those guys, we sit down and talk Friday, and I was trying to talk to those guys, and like I said, it was only like, started out with, I think 10, there was 12, 13, then there was 10, then there was 9, and I couldn't get them even talk. I said, y'all guys, we got to talk, we got to work on this, we got to find out there's some things that we all got in common here. And you know when they finally opened up? When I said, how many think I had the perfect childhood? Of course, hands went up. And so I started talking about some things I'd been through. And I thought about some things I had been through and some things that misunderstandings and some hurts. And I started revealing the scars. It was like the floodgates opened. As soon as they realized that we've all got problems, we've all got things to go through. And so when I showed them my scars and a reminder of my pain, then the guy beside me started talking about his. My partner, I had to get him to be quiet so the rest of them could talk. And they went all around the room and started talking about things in their childhood and things that had happened to them. And what they were seeing was, you know what? I've been through something, but it didn't stop me. Your scar showed people that you've been through something as a point of injury. Yes, you've been hurt, but it also showed you that you're not going to give in, that it didn't stop you. I was so amazed Friday night because Friday I hear all this while I'm at the detention center. And then Friday night when I'm preaching the last night of revival, this lady comes up who had just lost her son. And you know what? You couldn't even tell it the way she was acting. She was rejoicing in the Lord and having her a good time in the Lord. And it just blew me away. And I'm telling you, scars show us and show others that God is with us and that the pain didn't stop us. How many can think about the time pain didn't stop you? You kept on going. You kept on moving. You kept on. You kept on. You kept on. You kept on. Amen? Amen. I remember just as good when Bethany looked over at me and I said, Bethany, that one last thing she said before she kind of went out of it, and then she kind of every now and then said something, the very last thing she said to me was, I said, Bethany, I was asking her about services and funerals and stuff, and I said, Bethany, I hate to ask you this, but I got to. I want to follow your wishes to the T. And I said, who do you want to preach your funeral? And she looked me right dead in the eye. Last time she ever done that. She looked me right dead in the eye. And in that sweetest, kindest voice with tears in her eye, she pointed to me. And she said, I want you to preach my funeral. It was already, I was already knowing I was going to do it because of the dream she had. When she said that, and DC and Daniel said, nope. And for days, I could hear DC and Daniel go, nope, 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 Daddy, we're not putting you through that. Nope, 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 nope. I said, did you hear your sister? She said she wanted me. He said, "He said no, Daddy, why don't you just sit down with us? Nope, 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 nope. You're going to be her daddy today, not her pastor." I said, "Well, I am her pastor." And I said, "But daddy, it hurts too much." I said, "But it would hurt more not to." You see, the pain was there, but it didn't stop us from still doing what we had to do. Amen? So now watch, watch, watch. Indicates the point of injury. Power. Well, there he goes, flying right off into the sunset. Also indicates a point of healing. Wherever there's a scar, it tells me you've been healed. Here's the priority. It never, God never takes your pain lightly. He's been there. Matter of fact, I love this. He's been there first, and he survived. Amen? He's been there first, and he survived. And he's been there for us. Amen? Because he's been there for us, and he has survived. We can thrive because he arose, and we can too. And for others, when they see us rise, it brings them hope. We just sang it. We just sang this song. I love it. Well, matter of fact, we're going to do it right here. Let's sing it together. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead. And finally, and then we're going to beat the Baptist, the McDonald's. Never, ever be ashamed of a scar. It simply means you were stronger than whatever tried to hurt you. Never be ashamed of a scar. It only shows that you were stronger than whatever was tried to kill you. Amen? You see, you may think God can't use you because of your scars. Au contrary, God wants to use you because of your scars. Wow. There's a guy in that group in B5. He got shot. When he got arrested, he got shot. And this hand doesn't work. He was a contractor, so he needs his hands. The first time he was arrested, he got shot. He lost some fingers. Matter of fact, him and Benny are cousins now. One's 4 1/2 and one's 4 1/4. But also this hand's smaller than everything else. And his fingers like this. And when I first went in there, he was angry. He was angry because the contractor couldn't use his hand anymore. He was so mad. And he and I talked. And I told him something. I said, "You know what? I said, instead of being angry because you lost that hand, use of that hand, why don't you praise God that he made you?" He said, "Well, can you please tell me how to praise God because of this?" And I told him, I said, "You know what? You're a living testimony that this does not have to stop you from doing what God has called you to do." I said, "I bet when you work, you even work better now." He said, "Well, actually, I do." He said, "I do more work than some of my guys that got both arms." I said, "Well, how is that?" He said, "Because now I'm more determined than I've ever been." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because I've got to, in order to get past this, I've got to give it all I got and then some." I said, "And what do people around you do?" He said, "They speed up and work better when I'm around them." I said, "Why? Because you're the boss." He said, "No, because they don't want to be outdone by a one-armed man." I said, "So let me ask you a question. You've encouraged me today. You're encouraging you guys around you. He's the one leading them in prayer and leading them in all kinds of things." I said, so why is it in the middle of all this, you're angry when actually this makes you unique? And does it make you unique? It gives you more power than you've ever had in your entire life. Yes, you've lost power, but because of losing that power, God gave you more power than you've ever had. He said, "No, I didn't think about it that way." I said, I know you're mourning the loss of that hand. That's normal. It's grieving. It's a grieving process. I understand. But I want you to rejoice that God is allowing you to touch more people. You're touching more people with one hand than you could ever touch with both hands. He said, "I never thought about it that way. Thank you so much." I want everybody to think about that, what you've been through, what's hurting you, the scars that you have, the relationships that hurt you, the things that hurt you. Just remember, those scars are there for a purpose. And remember, here's the purpose. Look, it's there to show, first off, it was real. What you went through was real. And there's no way to deny it. It was there. It hurt. Yes, it hurt. But guess what? There's a purpose to it. There's power to it, because now it indicates where you were injured, but it also shows the point where you were healed. Wow. Every time I look at my hand, I see certain scars. I go back to it, and I look about thinking, wow, I remember when I did that. That was crazy. Remember when I did that? That was stupid. Remember when I did that? And then I sit back and think, you know what? God really must have a good sense of humor and a protecting power, because I bet he laughed while he was trying to keep me from getting killed. You heard the famous last words of a redneck kid. Hey, y'all, watch this. Okay. Scars. Somebody say, y'all, look. Somebody say, my scars are there for a purpose. God's going to use them. He's already used them. And I thank him for it in the name of Jesus. Now, let's everybody stand. Come on up here, Jeff. Play something for us. Isn't Jeff doing good? Randy, would come up here. I was going to have that play. God is so awesome. God is so awesome. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask a question. Just putting up your hand, nobody looking around, every eye closed. How many of us put their hand up and say, "You're right, Pastor, I got some scars in my life." Can you put that hand up? I got scars. Some of them are mental, some emotional, some physical, but I got scars. You may not like it. You may not like how you got them. But I can tell you one thing. God never wastes your pain. He sees it. He knows. He understands. And just to let you know he understands, he allowed his son to go through the greatest pain. Just to show everybody what God is capable of doing. I ask you right now, if you need God to do something special for you, especially because of your scars. When nobody's looking around, every eye closed, we just slip that hand and say, I really could use a good old dose of God to help me with my scars. I want us all to pray together. And then I'm going to open the altar up for everybody if you want to come. Let's pray together. Lord, nothing is withheld from you. And you saw the pain that produced this scar. And God, I know that you can get glory even from my worst pain. I trust you right now to continue to bring me through it and at the same time use my scars to help somebody else that may be going through it too. Father, I thank you for your touch. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, God, that my scars can be a source for you to anoint, to minister to others. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The altars are open. You can come and pray. Anybody wants to pray, you come and pray. You want prayer, you come and ask for prayer. If you want to pray for somebody else or just thank God for the day, all that will, come on up here and pray. It's okay. God has got this. God has got this. God's got this. I trust Him. I trust Him. I trust Him. I trust Him. Yes, there's scars that I have that I don't mind showing. There's scars I got that I even get in the bragging contest with some other rednecks. There's other scars that only me and God know about. But when I get around somebody that's going through that, because I've got that scar, it helps me empathize with them. It makes me sensitive to what they're feeling. And it makes me want to be there to bring comfort. No matter where the scar is, whether it's on your heart, whether it's in your mind, whether it's on your body, God wants to use it to show others that it's okay. That it's okay. That it's okay. That it's okay. Thank you, Father. Mr. Miser, both of them in a very powerful way right now. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're a powerful God. You're an almighty God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And God, I don't necessarily thank you for the pain. I sometimes just have a hard time trying to thank you for the pain. But I can thank you for the scar because that proves that healing is taking place. And I thank you for the scar because I know that now healing is coming through. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Somebody put your hand up and say, thank you for the scars, Lord. Thank you for the scars, Lord. Thank you for the scars. Thank you for the scars. Thank you for the scars. I'm all the time, I've asked those guys in B5, I do it all the time when I'm in there, but especially B5, because there's a special program going on called SHARP. That's the Sheriff's Heroin Addiction Recovery Program. And I asked the guys not long ago, I said, how many planned on being in here in Pitt Detention Center anytime? And no hands went up. We didn't. No, are you crazy? We didn't want to be in here. And then I'd ask them, how many think because you're in here that's ruined your life? And hands went up everywhere. And I said, now how many think because you're in here you've ruined God's plans for you? And hands went up everywhere. And I said, well, you know what? A lot of people would tell you. And I said, well, how many think they've disappointed God? And hands went up everywhere. And I said, well, let me tell you one thing. You can't disappoint God. And they said, well, how's that? Look what we've done. I said, well, in order to disappoint somebody, you've got to do something they weren't expecting. I said, God already knew you were going to do this. He knew you were going to be here. So you can't disappoint God. You disappoint yourself, you disappoint others, but not God. And then I explained to them that God, when He called you from your mother's womb, He already put in all the plan, all the way to the other end. He put in that you were going to be in Pitt Detention Center. all that, and he's going to use that for the finished product. I said, because he did that, you haven't ruined your life. You haven't ruined God's plan. God's still going to use you. And some of y'all in here right now, because of your scars, you're thinking God can't. And I'm here to tell you, you're more valuable than you've ever been because those scars, mental, emotional, physical, those scars place a very high value on you in God's eyes and in the kingdom. Not for us to do anything other than just, if nothing else, have empathy for somebody else and minister to them or to show them, hey, I went through it and God got me through it and I thank God for it. Amen. So, hold on, trust God, it's going to be okay. And come back Tuesday night, we're really getting into this stuff with the Live Now, Live Strong. It really is awesome. And I'm expecting God to do something even greater Tuesday night. We're moving right along. We've been through silence. And so we've been through hearing. And so now we're getting ready to do some other senses, and I won't get into it right now. I don't want to give it away, but some more senses and mindfulness, getting in right now so God can talk to you. How many has been practicing stuff like you can hear from God better? You can see, you can sense Him. You can sense His presence better. Since we've been doing this, how many sense the depression weakening? Anxiety going away. That's right. So listen, this stuff's good. It's good. And it's godly. And God's going to take care of business. Did I tell y'all guys we're looking good today? With the exception of a couple of you. Frank, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?